Wow. Well, good morning. Thank you so much for that warm Western Michigan welcome. My name is Dan Leanne, if we haven't met before. I just want to introduce myself more fully because this whole package is a little bit confusing to people experiencing it for the first time. I was born and raised in Melbourne, Australia. That's the reason my voice is this way. You were confused, weren't you? You were. My mother and father are Malaysian Chinese. That's the reason my face is this way. Because you were freaking out because the face and the voice weren't matching up. But 8 years ago, my family and I, my wife of 27 years and my two children, we moved to Anderson, South Carolina. So I'm a southerner now. That's the reason I have type 2 diabetes. I drive a truck. I say y'all a lot. I do take college football way too seriously. I feel like in this part of Michigan, I have a lot of people who can empathize with that. And it's a joy to be able to serve at a great church called New Spring Church in South Carolina. We have 13 campuses around the state. So if you don't have enough humidity here this summertime, I encourage you to come on down to South Carolina. We have a lot to spare. And if you have a free Sunday, we'd love to make you feel at home. As a part of my role there as a teaching pastor, I get to travel around this blue rock God made talking about Jesus. On my business card, it says Gospel Ninja. I like showing up, talking about Jesus, making a mess, and leaving before I have to clean up. And every now and then, you come across a church that's especially beautiful, and that's what Ada Bible is. Last night was so much fun at the Saturday night service, and I know that God has got something for every single person this Sunday morning. In this room and on all of our campuses, we want you to know that God wants to speak to you. In fact, I just want to echo that song that we just sung, that we get to speak the name of Jesus over every situation. Specifically this morning, I feel that the Holy Spirit wants to resonate deeply and profoundly in your being over every fear and over every anxiety. We speak the name of Jesus. And not only do we speak the name of Jesus, we believe because Jesus is alive, he still speaks today. And he speaks to our fears, he speaks to our worry, he speaks to our anxiety. He brings peace in the storm. He brings quiet into the middle of the war. And I hope and pray that in our few minutes together this morning, you would feel that, you would sense that, and would have you leaving today knowing that the name of Jesus is greater than any fear, any anxiety, any uncertainty, any worry in your life. Speak the name of Jesus and let Jesus speak. Can someone say a good amen to that? So that's what's going to happen this morning. We're going to talk about Jesus speaking into our fears and our anxiety. And then in about 34 minutes' time, we're going to let the Holy Spirit move in our lives and make a difference. And then 2 minutes after that, I'm going to try to hug as many Western Michiganians, whatever you are, I'm here to hug. In fact, I brought my white shirt as evidence of how much hugging I did today. I need to be marked up and stained up with all kind of mascara and all kind of foundation. I was at a church in Atlanta recently and I came home with a fake eyelash on my shoulder. That's kind of, now if you're on a campus right now, we're just up the road as well. So at the end of this service, if you've never met a real Australian Asian in real life, jump in your car, come on over. There's a giant hug for you as well. So here is the word for this morning. We speak the name Jesus over every fear and anxiety. And over your fear and your anxiety and your worry, Jesus speaks. And he says these words from the scriptures, do not worry. I know you're stressed, but do not worry. I know things are in the air right now, but do not worry. I know that things may be looking bleak in a situation right now, but do not worry. The King of this universe and the King of this church and the King of our hearts, Jesus Christ, speaks, do not worry. Let's pray and we'll jump into the word, yeah? Lord Jesus, we love you, we trust you, and we ask you to speak so clearly. Help us hear with our ears, but also perceive with our hearts. Help us walk away without worry. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I'm worrying a lot more nowadays than ever. I never used to worry that much. In fact, in my marriage, I'm the hype guy. I'm the glass half full guy. I'm the silver lining guy. My wife is the steady one. She's the stable one. She's the one who makes sure that our house doesn't burn down. I'm the one who, if it is burning down, I'm like, this is amazing. Let's toast marshmallows. That's kind of my leaning historically. But in the last couple of years, I found myself just worrying more than ever, stressing more than ever, ruminating on problems more than ever. It might be connected to the fact that there is a lot of uncertainty in the earth and it's swirling everywhere that I travel. It might be connected to the fact that I'm getting old. Maybe you just start worrying more when you get old. I feel so old. I turned 49 a couple of weeks ago. I know I don't look 49, but here is a reality. Asian don't raisin, you know what I'm saying? And I'm aging great. But I've done 49 laps of the sun, and I'm feeling every single one of those years. I'm just stressing more about like family stuff. There's a lot of shifts and changes happening in my family unit. I've got a 21-year-old daughter who is nearly done with college, and she's got one of those boyfriends that you hate. Not because he's not good, it's just that he's too good. He's a sweet kid, got pretty eyes, doing his master's in accounting at Clemson. He wants to be an auditor. Who wants to be an auditor? He wants to be an auditor. And he looks like the exact kind of kid who's going to ask me one day for my daughter's hand in marriage. I'm not ready for that conversation. In fact, every time I'm around this kid, Titus, I get nervous and I have to leave the room. No word of a lie, a couple of days ago, I came home from work, found him sitting by himself in my kitchen. And I didn't want to talk to him. So you know what I did? I got into my car and I drove away. I drove away from the house that I built and paid for because I'm so scared about that conversation. Life has got me stressed out. My son's got me stressed out. He's 19 years of age. A beautiful young man. He's taller than me. He's bigger than me. He's stronger than me. But I don't know if I've done enough to prepare him for life. Because a couple of days ago, he called me at 11 o'clock at night. He's at college, only 10 minutes up the road, but he's at college and he calls me and he asks me what to do when you run out of clean underwear. The kid's 19 years old. He didn't know what to do. So here I am, no word of a lie. At Anderson University, 10 minutes away from me, I'm driving after 11 o'clock with some pairs of clean underwear and I'm driving back just going, have I done enough to prepare this kid to deal with life? I'm worried. I'm at that age where I'm getting really worried about health stuff. It feels like everything that used to kind of be held together back in the day now is popping and cracking and splitting. I'm at that age where I'm waking up with injuries I didn't go to sleep with. You know what I'm saying? You know that feeling where you're lying in bed at night? Any men in the room, come on, over 45 in the room, you know that feeling. You're lying in bed, you're feeling good about yourself. I didn't hurt anything at the gym, didn't pop anything on that run, and then you wake up in the morning and you find that you tore a hamstring. Had a vigorous dream and now you're hobbling around all day long. Every little lump, every little bump, every little mole, every little freckle. I found a hair growing out of a freckle the other day, and I was playing with that hair all day long. You know what I did to that hair? I plucked that hair. And then I thought to myself, should I have plucked that hair? Is that detrimental to your health? So you know what I did? I Googled it. And then the first three articles that I read said there is no detrimental impact on your health if you pull out a freckle hair. But then I read the fourth article and it raised questions. So it had me freaking out all day long. Money stuff got me worried. You don't even have to have an economics degree to understand inflation. Like a dollar used to buy so much, now a dollar only buys so much. In the old days, eggs were cheap. I remember when I was growing up, if I didn't feel like I had enough dinner, my mother told me to go fry an egg. Now it's totally different. When it comes to when my kids want to fry an egg, I call time out. I say, whoa, 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 what are we doing with this egg? how are we stretching this? You can't just be frying an egg. We're not getting maximum value out of this egg. We need to mix a little bit of milk in there, a little bit of water up in there, because that egg, like at $5 an egg, you know what I'm saying? So I remember the days when it felt like money went further, that cost of living was a little lower. And I've never really lived paycheck to paycheck, but I'm feeling that pressure more and more as I do life. I'm stressed more about money. What do you worry about? What are you stressed about? What's filling your thoughts at night? What's waking you up at 2 a.m? What's caused you to find yourself just edgier, losing your temper that much quicker? What are you worried about? Is it family stuff? Is it changing dynamics in your family? Is it relationship stuff? Maybe a marriage you feel a fracture in. Is it kids stuff? What kind of world are we handing onto them? What kind of culture are we pushing them into? Is it money stuff? Have you lived paycheck to paycheck for many years, but now that paycheck isn't going as far as it used to? Is it future stuff? What am I going to do after my time in high school? Everyone's asking me what I'm going to do with my life. I've got no idea what I'm going to do with my life. Why does everyone keep asking me this question? Maybe you're at college right now and you're going, what kind of job can I get? Every job I apply for, they're asking for experience, but how do I get experience unless someone gives me a job? Maybe it's work stuff. Maybe you're sitting here right now on a Sunday morning and you're already feeling the dread of having to go to work on Tuesday. You get a day off tomorrow to recognize, to remember the people who have given sacrificially for our nation, but then you're worried about, hey, Tuesday's going to come around and I'm going to hate stepping into that office again. Hate sitting in that truck in traffic again. Hate going through what I have to go through again. The reality is, this side of eternity, we're all knit together by this common thread. With the uncertainty that swirls, with the questions that remain unanswered, we all feel a level of worry, fear, and anxiety. In fact, the American Psychological Association, through its research, will show you that about 60% of Americans feel like there is more worry in their life this time in this year than there was this time last year. About 1/3 of Americans will deal with some form of anxiety disorder at some point in their life. So if you're feeling worry in this moment right now, you're not alone, you're not weird, you're not strange, and it's impacting your life. It's affecting your joy. It's impacted how much you laugh. It's been detrimental to your family. And it has ruined your sleep. And I know this for a fact, because like I said before, I've experienced more worry in my life than I've ever experienced before. In fact, it came to a head summertime last year, nearly a year ago. And I was in the middle of a very busy speaking schedule, and I found myself in bed one night, not being able to go to sleep. My heart starts racing faster and faster as my body felt like it was being burnt up. I even jumped into a cool shower trying to cool my body down, but it didn't help. I thought I was having a heart attack. So the morning after, I reached out to my family doctor, and he checked my vitals, and he said that I was relatively healthy from a physical point of view, but after a short conversation about something swirling in my head and my heart, he said, I think you have some anxiety in your life. Do you know a therapist? I said, I did. In fact, the youth pastor who led me to the Lord when I was 17 years old is a clinical psychologist. That's how horrible a kid I was in youth ministry. I caused my youth pastor to give up the ministry and enter into clinical psychology. And seriously, we reconnected throughout the course of last summer, and he has helped me profoundly through counseling and conversation and the Bible to find freedom in this area of anxiety and worry. And specifically, he gave me an exercise that I want to share with you this morning if you have felt worry, fear, or anxiety in your life. It's a meditation upon the words of Jesus. It's a deep reflection on a piece of scripture. And I hope and pray that as you start to do this, as I've done it for the whole of the last year, I hope and pray that you would feel some freedom anew, deep in your being, in this area of fear, anxiety, and worry. If you have your Bibles, would you go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, Matthew chapter 6 is partly covering this long sermon recorded in the book of Matthew that Jesus once preached on a mountain. And on this sermon on the mount, Jesus would talk about life. He would talk about the different situations that we would all go through. He would talk about relationship with Father in heaven. But here in Matthew chapter 6, he takes a very personal turn as he speaks to us individually about the worry and the fear we will all feel this side of eternity. My friend Glenn encouraged me to go into the backyard and to find a seat. He told me that I run too fast and I go too quick. I need to stop moving around and sit down. So I went into my little backyard and I took a seat. And then he told me to read this scripture, but to visualize Jesus speaking this to you. Can I encourage you that if you feel worry in your heart, to hear the words of Jesus directed to you? And this is what Jesus says. Therefore I tell you, in verse 25, do not worry about your life. Hey, don't worry so much. About what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, about what you're going to wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Hey, Dan, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Or in other words, Jesus says, the reason you all are worrying is because you all think it helps. That if you keep thinking about something, it's going to get better. But is there anyone in this room brave enough to admit that they've wasted whole hours of their life, come on, worrying about something that Jesus says, I already got? Come on, let's be real right now. Anyone brave enough to admit you've wasted whole days of your life stressing about something that's already in his hands? So Jesus is calling out. He's saying, you know what? You're all worrying, and you're worrying because you think that if you keep thinking about something, it'll get better. But it doesn't only not get better. You've just wasted time you don't get back. And then he says here in verse 28, and why do you worry so much about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Or you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I want to encourage you to scribble a few things down if you have a journal. Like this young lady over here, very wise, very insightful. One of my old preaching mentors used to tell me that a blunt pencil is more effective than a sharp mind in remembering the things God whispers to you about. I'm not saying you need to take notes to get into heaven. I'm just saying, why take a chance? You know what I'm saying? Get to the end. It's an open book. That's not true at all. Don't write that down, young lady. But scribble some of this stuff down. I promise you, upon review, it'll go deeper in. Who's got an iPhone here, an iPhone, an iPad? Open up the Note app and thank the Lord Jesus for Steve Jobs as you do so. That's a wonderful piece of technology you have right there. Who's got a Google device, a Samsung situation? Who's got one of those? Okay, you can put it away. I've got nothing for you and for your friends for the rest of our time together, because you mess up our group texts with your invasive green bubble energy. It's very presumptive. No, I'm not messing around. You can write some stuff too. Because what's happening here is Jesus is diagnosing why you're worrying. The one who makes life, the one who holds life, the one who understands life like no other. Understands some of the dysfunction that creeps into our wiring. And what he's doing here through this conversation is he's diagnosing why many of us stress, why many of us worry, why many of us ruminate on problems that cause us fear. But he doesn't only diagnose, he prescribes the way forward. He offers the panacea, he offers the antidote to our worry. He practically gives us our next step forward in overcoming worry and anxiety in our life. What's he doing here? The first thing he's saying is that many of us are worrying because we forget that God is in the details. I know it's easy to feel like God forgets us because we're 1 out of 7 billion people on planet Earth and it feels like there's so much going on at any given time. It's so easy to feel overlooked. It's so easy to feel forgotten. It's so easy to feel like you have wandered from the gaze of God. But Jesus blows that idea up with this glorious reality, which I pray resonates deep within your soul for many moments to come. You are not forgotten by God, but you are seen by God. Not only is God in some of your details, he is in all of your details. How does he prove this? He says, if you're worrying, call a timeout. And go outside. Go find a bird. And let me tell you about that bird. That itty bitty bird that you so easily overlooked this morning was not overlooked by God. In fact, that bird was fed by the hand of Father God. So if you feel stress in your life, if you feel worry in your journey, if anxiety is constricting your soul, go find a bird and be reminded by the words of Jesus that if he fed that little bird, he's gonna feed you. If he takes care of that little bird, he's gonna take care of you. Because that bird didn't have Jesus die for it, but Jesus died for you. That bird doesn't have an eternal soul, but you have an eternal soul. That bird wasn't made in God's image, but you, ma'am, you, sir, were made in God's image. If he's in the detail of the bird, he's in the details of your family. So go watch a bird. I've become a birder, like a nerdy bird watching guy. I'm there in South Carolina, so we have some beautiful songbirds. And that's what I do every single morning. In fact, that's what I was doing this morning. There's a little hotel called the Ada Hotel, just a couple of miles. Beautiful, stunning. It's a vibe. And there is like a river that runs by that. I'm sitting out by that river this morning, listening to all kinds of birds. I heard your state bird this morning. Every state that I travel to, I make it a point to try to listen to or see the state bird. Do you know the state bird here in Michigan? It's the American robin, and those American robins were everywhere this morning. State bird in South Carolina is the wren. State bird in North Carolina is the cardinal. State bird of California is the quail. I was in the state of Washington a couple of weeks ago. I got to see an American goldfinch. Do you know the state bird of Indiana, where the Indiana people at? You know what the state bird of Indiana? That's right. Do you know the state bird of Georgia? It's the brown thrasher. The state bird of Oklahoma, scissor-tail flycatcher. It has a tail that looks like a pair of scissors and it catches flies, a very pragmatic naming. I was in Texas recently and I asked them what the state bird was and someone yelled out, the eagle, because we're in America, son. And said, no. It's the mockingbird in Texas as well. I promise you, when you're reminded that Father God would see a bird and feed that bird, we're reminded that God sees us and he'll feed us. So this is what I do every single morning as I sit in my backyard. Would you do it with me? Would you put your hand on your chest? Just do this right now. I want you to breathe in deep and breathe out and say, God sees me. Now let's do it out loud. Breathe in. Breathe out. Say, God sees me. Breathe in. Breathe out. And say, God feeds me. When you're worrying, when you're stressing, when you're fearing, when things don't add up, when you don't know what's laying around the corner,
When uncertainty booms within every quiet moment you find, breathe in and breathe out and speak it out. God sees me and God feeds me. The second thing Jesus does here is he observes why many of us are worrying and fearing, and it's connected to a cultural lie that many of us have swallowed. In fact, marketing agencies will spend billions of dollars every single year to try to invade every waking moment, trying to let you know that you're not enough until you have enough as defined by the world. It's the clothes you wear, it's the labels you can afford, it's the cars in your driveway, it's the square footage of your home, it's the ability to experience pleasures and experiences. And if you do all of that, if you work hard enough and climb high enough and get enough, then you can go to sleep deeply at night. The only problem is there are some people in this room right now who could testify to climbing those ladders, ascending those summits, getting to the top of those mountains, only to find that there is no satisfaction up there. At the top of that summit, there's just another summit that you didn't see before, and you got to start climbing again. And that is a stressful, worrying, fear-creating environment indeed. So what does Jesus say? He blows it up. He says, not only do you have to become bird watchers, you have to go look at flowers. Now, full disclosure here, I haven't become a flower guy. I don't like looking at flowers. I don't like buying my wife flowers. I love my wife. But as an Asian person who has a good understanding of economics and value, I find buying something that is dead, that is going to die even more, as a very bad investment indeed. So I don't like buying flowers, but I know this enough about flowers that a simple flower, when studied closely, you will see beauties, hues, and colors that are breathtaking, mind-blowing, skin-tingling. In fact, Jesus would say, take a simple flower like a lily and place it up against King Solomon. Who was King Solomon? He is the wealthiest king that ever lived. The swaggiest, most fashionable, most drippy king that ever lived. Labels on labels on labels, Gucci on Gucci on Gucci. This is Solomon. But then Jesus says, put a lily next to Solomon, and Solomon looks underdressed. And then Jesus says, if God would do that for a simple flower that is here today and tomorrow burnt by the summer Michigan sun, how much more will he clothe you, bless you, cover you, make your life beautiful? You get to rest in your heart, not when society says you have enough. You get to rest in your heart when you understand that Father God is the one who defines beauty, and it is in his nature as a father to beautify your life. It's in his nature as a father. I know this because I'm a dad. I don't have a lot, but I know this, that I love to bless my children with whatever I can afford. I was on vacation late last year in Destin, Florida. We drove down to Destin, took the dog, and it was amazing. And there is not much in Destin, Florida, except for the beach and an outlet mall. So you just go from one to the other, back and forth. We're at the outlet mall, and my daughter, Caitlin, says, I want a tote bag. I would love a tote bag for college. Do you know what a tote bag is, sir? You didn't look like you knew what a tote bag was, because you had a blank look on your face when I said what a tote bag was. I guarantee you, the lady next to you, she knows exactly what a tote bag is. Here is a tote bag. A tote bag is like a Walmart shopping bag with like the holes stretched out. That's all a tote bag is. So I said, baby girl, I'm going to get you a tote bag. So we went into Coach and she picked out the tote bag. I said, I love you, baby girl. I'm going to get you that tote bag. And then I looked at the price tag. And that tote bag was $550. For a Walmart bag with a hole stretched out, $550. So I said to her, hey, KJ, tell you what, let me shop around and try to find a deal on this tote bag. So she said, okay, cool. So I start shopping around and I found a beautiful, reputable online seller named Temu. And I found the exact same bag, not $550, but $172. Deal. So I bought this bag off Temu. 10 days later, it arrives. As soon as I opened up the box, I could tell something was wrong because it smelled funny.
Number two, coach was spelt wrong. Third of all, it was meant to be like a warm maple color. It was more like a bright red color. And when you grabbed it, your hand went bright red as well. I'm not sure, but I think I bought a fake. So now my wife is angry at me because I've bought a $172 fake and now I also got to buy a $550 real one. So that night, my son and my daughter were around at our house for some family dinner and I was so embarrassed. So I gave her the gift as a joke. I said, hey, KJ, I got you this bag. I promise you I'll buy you a real bag. But then Caitlin right away said, no, I'm going to keep this one. I love this one. She says, it's going to do everything I need it to do. It will carry my laptop and my books. But best of all, it's going to remind me of my cheap dad everywhere I go. But I'm not cheap. It's the best that we could do with our budget that month. And if I'm like that with my daughter, as imperfect as I am, come on, how much more does your loving, heavenly, perfect Father bless and cover you? You all are stressed because you think that he's a hand-me-down God, a barely enough God, a bread and water God. He is not. He is a blessing more than you need. Because he loves you, he will cover your life, God. So the next time you feel that worry in your heart that you haven't done enough, earned enough, or you aren't enough, I want you to do this. Come put your hand in your chest. My eyes are open. I can see who's doing and who is it. I want you to breathe in and breathe out and say, God will clothe me. Come on, breathe in, breathe out, and say, God will bless me. Because he's a loving father, he delights in blessing you with more than enough. Can someone say a good amen to that? Amen. Thirdly and lastly, Jesus diagnoses why we worry. We're worried because we forget that he's in the details. Look at the birds. He feeds the birds. He's going to feed you. You're worried because you've swallowed a cultural lie telling you need to have enough to be enough. And Jesus says, look at the flowers. They are covered in such a way, so gloriously beautiful, so breathtakingly stunning. If he would do that for the flower, how much more will he clothe and cover you? And finally, he says, you all are stressing because you've allowed things that aren't God to take too large a position in your life. He says, you all are running around like a bunch of pagans. Now, a pagan isn't someone who doesn't believe in God. A pagan is just someone who allows too many things to become God in their life. Now, you push back and you go, wait a second, no, I'm a Christian. I go to Ada Bible Church. I'm so serious about the Bible. We put the word Bible in the name of our church. You can't say, no. All of us as human beings have a proclivity towards idolatry. It's the story of the Bible. We allow things that aren't God to get too big in our life. It might be money. It might be things. It might be a career. It might be business. It might be a sporting team. Go Blue. Whatever it is. And I'm going to say, like, if you let something become too big in your life, you then now entrust that thing with the peace in your journey. And even all of those things in themselves aren't wrong. If we allow them to hold the peace and the joy in our life, you're in for a rough and rocky roller coaster ride indeed. So what does Jesus say? Put those things to the side and rank him number one again. Seek first the kingdom of God and stack everything else behind that. Submit your money to God. Submit your football to God. Submit your work to God. Rank him number one again, and then everything else lines up. That's the reason when someone comes to me and they're worried about something and they're stressed about something, I don't say, let's pray about it because it feels like the right pastoral thing to do. I say, let's pray about it because when you're praying, what's happening is you're seeking him first. You're stacking every worry behind him. When someone comes to me and they're saying, hey, I can't get over this anxiety. I say, hey, meet me at church on Sunday morning. Let's get together and sing about King Jesus because it's amazing how when you make much of him, the things of this earth grow strangely dim. Why? Because worship
and worry cannot coexist. If you do one, it'll destroy the other. If you let worry define your journey too much, it will destroy your worship and your ability to praise and to thank God. But you flip it, when you make much of God, it's amazing how your worries are diminished. Because how do you worry about health stuff when you're singing to Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals? Come on, how do you worry about money stuff when you're singing to Jehovah Jireh, the one who has provided before, is providing today, and ain't nothing changing? How does society or culture get you down when you're worshiping Jehovah Shalom, he who is our peace? Worship and worry cannot coexist. If you do one, it'll destroy the other. That's the reason I want you to flip it in your minds. Worry will no longer be the thief of your time or your day. Worry will just be an alarm going off in your soul, reminding you to worship him again and to seek him first. And any of my people, who uses an alarm in their life? Who uses an alarm? Who's alarm people? Alarm. Who when the alarm goes off, you're straight up? Alarm, you just straight shoot up. Who gets up before the alarm goes off? Who always, like, you're just up and then you're freaking out and then you turn off the alarm before the alarm goes. Who is a snooze button person? Where are my snooze button people at? I feel like there weren't enough people confessing in this room. Usually Ada Bible Church is a place of no shame, but let's turn this place into a house of shame for the next 10 seconds. I need you to point out the people in your life who are snooze button people. Where are the snooze button people? Is she a multiple snooze button person, sir? You're the snooze button person? Do you do it like, are you like a double snoozer? Are you a triple snoozer over here? A triple snooze guy. I love you, sir, but do not be like this man when it comes to worry. Don't hit the snooze button. As soon as you feel the worry rise, seek him first again. As soon as anxiety starts to bark, quieten that bark with seeking him first again. Because worship and worry cannot coexist. If you do one, it will destroy the other. And your worship of King Jesus will destroy every fear and anxiety. Can someone say a good amen to that? Amen. Sorry, my time is done. I got told that I'd be taken out for some free Korean food if I stuck to time. I like me some free Korean food. He sees you, he feeds you, he'll clothe you, he'll bless you. He knows what beauty looks like, and he promises to make your life beautiful. Seek him first and his kingdom, and everything gets stacked up right behind that. I speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. I pray that as you see the birds and consider the flowers, and worship him again, worry will be right-sized, and you will walk forward with breath in your lungs, joy in your soul, confidence in your being, knowing it's going to be all right. Do not worry. I do this usually when I finish up a service. I would love to give an opportunity to people to respond to what God has done. And so what we're going to do right now, with every eye open and every head raised and everyone looking around in a judgmental manner. Now, I do that on purpose because the Bible says God opposes the proud. If you have pride in your life, you got bigger issues than worry. You're going to feel like heaven is against you. God opposes the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. I've learned that God is a promise maker and a promise keeper. I'm just trying to activate a promise for your life before you leave today. I want you to feel the grace of heaven giving you strength to not only be hearers of the word, but doers of this word. So with every eye open on every single campus, with every head raised, looking around, because there's nothing as humbling as saying, hey, that was me with people watching. I'm just trying to activate a promise. Let me ask you this question. If that word was for you today, would you be brave enough to admit, hey, I need some grace in this area and some grace to live out what I've heard? I need to view life as a journey where I'm seen by God and fed by God, clothed, covered, and made beautiful by God. Is there anyone here in this room who needs to respond to that alarm and to worship him again? Place him as number one. Let's activate a promise by showing some humility. So with every eye open, every head raised, everyone looking around, if that word was for you this morning, would you lift your hand high in the sky right now, all over this room? Lift it high in the sky. Keep them lifted. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for this humble move. On every single campus, there are people responding to you in humility, saying, we can't, but you can. We don't have enough, but you are more than enough. So promise maker, be a promise keeper. Give my brothers and sisters amazing grace to walk forward without the worry. I thank you that you see us, that you feed us. You clothe and you cover us. You delight in making our lives beautiful. Bless us as we go forward with your name, Jesus, over every fear and anxiety. We thank you for this morning. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Like I said, I'm going to be here for the hugs. I'll see you guys soon.